If you have a look at Ephesians chapter 6, that will be good. Verse 10. Let me read it to you and trust it'll be a Bible reading for you. Finally, my brethren, that's talking to the church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmets of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with half prayers, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterances will be given, may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. We are talking about the armor of God, the dress code of the Christian. Now, you don't put armors on babies. You put diapers on babies, but those that are grown soldiers and generals of the Lord ought to be armored, to be dressed properly. And we shared about that. We are still sharing on that. But one of the real concerns is that many times so many Christians live in defeat. Now, there are several reasons why, and the primary reason is stupidity. The primary reason is ignorance. All of you could minister the power of God, but you don't believe that. Why? Because you're ignorant. And then you're trying to learn, always learning, and never getting to a place where you're able to minister because you actually don't believe what the Bible says. You say, well, you can minister because you're the pastor. The pastor is never supposed to be the only one that ministers. In fact, the Bible says the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints so the saints can actually do the ministry. If you are 3 years old in God, you ought to be ministering with confidence. If you're not, you're stupid. And I get really, really concerned and sometimes annoyed that Christians that are grown don't have the confidence to be able to do what Christ said you could do. If the baby church in Acts 2 can do miracles, a church 2,000 years later at least should be able to do the same. Are you all right? That means that you don't have to always ring somebody. Can you pray? Can you pray? Can you lay hands? Pray. You pray. Learn to receive from God. Don't just get the pastor to go up the mountain. You go up the mountain. You receive from God. God has no secondary children. You're not different from anybody else. I like one time when they were talking about this great conference, and they were talking to these ministers, and He said, oh, so-and-so is coming to speak, and so-and-so is coming to speak, and so-and-so is coming to speak. And this great man of God said, is Jesus going to be at the conference? And our greatest enemy is our ignorance of what God has given to us. And as long as the enemy can keep you there and get you to doubt, you will never be able to have the confidence to minister properly. We have enough Bible to sink the Titanic, but we don't seem to know how to practice the Bible. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth it is likened unto a master builder who builds his house on the rock. When the rain come and the wind come and the flood come, the house still stands because it's built properly. How do you build on the rock? Hearing and it's very simple. There's nothing magical about it. You don't have to, no, it's not just hearing and doing. And many years ago when I heard Derek Prince say, miracles are practical, I thought the man was daft. How can miracles be practical? And then I realized that if you are a practitioner of the Bible, you will always have miracles. Because the Bible is no ordinary book. The Bible is the word that is breathed by God and the breath of God that gave that lump of clay life is the same breath that wrote the Bible, is the same breath that will minister to you. If you just believe. Now, in the book of Hebrews that I read from, for communion, it says this, and it's a warning, and we shared a little bit of that some time ago. Now, if I can provoke you to get up, and do something, then that will be great. The Bible says to provoke one another to love and good works. And if I can provoke you, then it'll be great so that you can get up and trust that the God that is in you is no less than the God is in somebody else. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So this is what the book of Hebrews says, and it's a warning to us. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us of entering his rest, any of you will seem to come so short of it. So you can be promised something, and you never get it. And then it says, for unto us the gospel is preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And if you don't mix what God tells you with faith and get up and say, this is what it says, whether you feel it or not, and learn to walk in it, miracles will be very, very practical things. It'll just happen. Why? Because God stands behind his word to see that his word will perform. Now have a look at Mark chapter 16. Are you okay? Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why you need to shew yourself. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. They both heard the same thing. They both heard the word. They both heard he that believes and he that believes not. The same message, he that believes will be saved. He that doesn't believe the message will be damned. And then he says, and these signs shall follow them that are pastors. Mm-hmm. These signs follow those that actually believe. So whether you're Maori or Samoan or European or Danish or whatever, if you believe, hallelujah, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So you can cast out devils. Can a demon have a Christian? Can a Christian have a demon? Hello? You can cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, the order is you cast out devil before you speak with new tongues. That means if you actually speak in tongues, you can cast out devils. You don't have to speak in tongues to cast out devils. You just have to believe. But if you speak in tongues, you ought to cast out devils. I didn't write Mark. It says, a lot of people don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, don't blame me. Blame Jesus. He said, if you believe, you'll speak in tongues. Stop blaming other churches. Stop blaming other denominations. It's not the denomination's fault. It's Jesus' fault. Jesus said, if you believe, you'll cast out devil. You speak with new tongues. You don't learn a new language. You speak with tongues. So blame Jesus. Don't blame the Pentecostals. The Pentecostal did not invent tongues. Jesus did. He says, if you believe, you'll speak in tongues. I'm just passionate about what I'm saying. All right? I'm not angry. Just wanting to get it. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall get sicker. They shall recover. And then he says this, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and that's what the disciples did, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. Confirming the what? The word. So when you believe the word, God will confirm the word with signs and wonders following. You know, many Christians are running after signs and wonders. The signs and wonders will run after you if you will just learn to be a practitioner of the Bible. Hearing and doing. Whether you're a kid or an adult, if you practice the word of God, signs and wonders will follow you. Are you okay? Now, many times we think that signs and wonders should be in the church. Have you ever noticed that most of the miraculous in the work of Jesus were not done in public? It wasn't done in a church. Are you okay? When he came to the well of Samaria, there was just him and the lady. Walking to Jairus' house, there was quite a lot of people, but that was not in a church. That was on the street. A little old lady came in touch with the hem of his garment and got her healing. Are you all right? And then people thought that he was unclean because he was touched by an unclean woman. Now he can't go into the house of a dead girl if he was clean. Only the unclean go into there. But now a woman touched him, and they thought that he was unclean because a woman touched him, and then he now has permission to go into the dead room, the dead girl's room, so heal the lady who was had the issue of blood for 12 years than come to a dead girl who is 12 years old. She had the same issue as long as the girl was alive. Are you all right? Do you know something? There are people out there that believe in you more than you believe in yourself. Are you all right? Our problem is we always expect others to tell us what we're supposed to do. It makes us feel good. Why don't you learn to know who you are? And there are people out there who actually believe in you, but you don't believe in yourself. I was in a plane one time, and there was a lady sitting in the front, and we were going through a terrible time. It was it was terrible. The wind was turbulent in the air. And I saw her, and I was sitting about 11 rows from the front. And she was sitting right at the front, and she will get up every now and again and look back. Then she'll sit down again, put her belt on, and then she'll get up and look back. And then she'll sit down, and then she'll get up and look back. And I thought, what's she doing? And then we arrive, and then I heard what she said. You know what she said? She said to herself, as long as that man is sitting in the plane, this thing's going to land. And every now and again, she'll get up to see that she's looking at the right person. She said, as long as he's in the plane will land. That lady had a lot of confidence in somebody else because she knows he's a minister. The Bible says, these signs shall follow the minister, all right? No, these signs shall follow them that believe. And there are people out there who believe in the God that you have, but sometimes you don't believe the same that they believe in the God that you have. Are you all right? How many have heard of a man named Carlos Anacondia? Carlos Anacondia is an Argentinian evangelist. Great man of God. I don't think he speaks English. Well, the last time couldn't speak English, so just speak in Argentinian and whatever language that is. I think Portuguese or Spanish or whatever. And somebody interprets for him. And he was so frustrated. He said, God, give me power. I want to do your work. I want to do it with the power of your spirit. And God said, I've already given you power. There is nothing left up here. It's all in the church. Either you believe that or you don't. And he said, that was the demarcation point of his ministry. When Jesus said, all authority is given unto me, go ye therefore, he didn't lie. All the authority is in the hand of the church. And the church has to learn to believe that. You have to learn to believe that. If you learn to believe that, you won't ring the pastor so much. Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Pray for yourself. I had somebody send me a message and said, do you always get attacked when you're getting ready to do something? I said, no, you don't always get attacked, but if you expect the attack, you'll get attacked. When you do something, the enemy is always on the prowl. But he seeks to find whom he may. He may. He may. Everybody say, may. Whom he may devour. That means he doesn't just get anybody. If the devil is as strong as the church thinks, none of us will be here. But he only seeks to devour those that he may devour. So if you expect the devil to always attack you, guess what? It's open season for you. And then you blame God. I like what one preacher said. He walked out And the devil was sitting right there crying. And he said, "What are you crying for? I always get the blame for everything that happens in the church." And it seems like we give the devil so much power when God has given us all authority. He's not going to do anything more than that. He's already done it. We just have to learn to believe it and live in it. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Is this all right? Hallelujah. Amen. So, the Bible says, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. And we talked about the Word of God last week, the sword, the mirror, the judge, the milk, the bread, the meat, the water, the breath, the healer. And one minister said, "If I can get the Christian, I'll get, he said, "I'll get anybody healed." And I thought, that's arrogance. And then he said this, "If the Christian could treat the Word of God the same way they treat their doctor's instructions, they'll get healed every single time." What's a doctor's instruction? Take one tablet 3 times a day after food. Guess what? We take it 3 times a day. If you could do that with a... It's life unto those that find it, and health to all their flesh. If you could treat the Bible the same way you treat the prescription from the doctor, I think a lot of the people in the church will find their health. Someone said, "Well, my eyes are failing." How old are you? If you're 104, your eyes ought to be failing. Why? Because you're getting old, and your eye is a muscle, and every muscle in your body is getting old. You don't run as fast as you used to. You don't punch as hard as you used to, and you don't kick as high as you used to. Why? Because you're getting old. So if your ears are failing and your eyesight is failing, it's because you're getting old. But if you are 18 and those things are happening, find out why they're happening and learn to live in victory. Are you all right? Say amen. Is this okay? I preach one time on that if you're bitter, it's one of the major causes of arthritis. And someone came over and gave me a note. "Sister so-and-so's got arthritis. Are you saying that she's bitter?" You always have somebody say something like that. Why? Because many times, our trust and belief in God and His Word is always challenged by our experience. God supplies half your needs according to half His riches. Oh, and then you're in need. Where do you go? Because your experience will always challenge what you believe. Does that change the scriptures? Because many of us will then rather believe our experience rather than the Word of God. I like what one saint said, "I know I'm not well, but I'm still believing God." And he may pass away with the same condition that he's got. But it doesn't change the Word of God. He said, I'm still believing. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
So, one of the difficulties that many Christians face, not just you, all of us face, is that many times, even though we know the Bible, when we are attacked, we don't do anything with it. We just wait for the attack to finish. Are you okay? Who's got the bad elbow? I'm not sure if you got healed when you were prayed in the groups or you still got it. Who's that? You can take it home if you want to, or if you're healed, that's all right. But this is the difficulty that I see. And many times, Christians don't do it. When you're tempted, you just try and endure the temptation, which you're supposed to. But when Jesus was tempted, he did something that most of the church never do. What did Jesus do? He took the scriptures and quote the scriptures to the devil. He took the word of God and quoted the word of God to the enemy. Now, I wonder why Jesus did that. And I wonder if he's the Son of God, why was it necessary for him to do that? And we don't. Hello? Now, let's have a look at Matthew chapter 4. And then I'll finish. Are you hungry? Want a cup of tea? Verse 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now that's an amazing temptation. He said, "If you are the Son of God, your identity will be assaulted. Who do you think you are? You think you're Reinhard Bonnke? You know what Reinhard Bonnke said? I'm not afraid of the devil. I believe the devil's afraid of me." Are you all right? So he challenged his identity when 40 days just before, God the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And here comes the devil and says, "Are you really the Son of God? And if you are the Son of God, prove it by saying to the stones to be made bread." Now, here is one thing I can say it to you. The devil has more faith in the creative power of God than the church. How many people would believe that God can turn stones to bread? Well, the devil does. Hello? That's what he said. You can do it. You turn the stones. Prove it. Prove that you're the Son of God. Turn the stones to bread. What did Jesus say? But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It is written. It is written. Now, how many of us will get tempted, get annoyed, and get up and say, "Devil, or situation, or a mountain, or need, it is written"? Now, if anybody needed not to quote what's written, it's Jesus. Why? Because you wrote the book. I think he was giving us a tool. If you're tempted, when the needs mount up, find that in the Bible and quote the Bible to it. If you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and believe in your heart that what God says is will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say, quote. He didn't say you shall have whatsoever you believe. He said you shall have whatsoever you say. Quote. Now, how did Jesus know it was written? Now, many people say, well, he's the Son of God. Well, yes, he was the Son of God, and he is the Son of God. But when Jesus came, Paul's very clear in the book of Colossians that Jesus laid down his divinity. And when he came just as another human being, empowered by the Spirit of God. There's a scripture in the book of Hebrews that says, even though he was the Son of God, learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus is God, deity at the time on the earth, and not just a person empowered by the Spirit, why would he learn to obey? The reason he had to learn to obey is because he laid down his godhood, for want of a better word, his deity, and came just like you and I. And he had to learn. He had to learn to obey. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn everything just like you and me. And therefore, he had to read the scriptures. How did he know to quote the scriptures? Because he read it. Are you all right? Now, if he is the Son of God, the architect of the universe, came as a man, just another man empowered by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And if he had to learn to say to the devil, it is written, I wonder what the church should do. Now, the Bible says he was tempted in every way, in every form. Like one young man came to Ern Baxter, and he said to Ern Baxter, Mr. Baxter, was Jesus tempted sexually? Mr. Baxter said, young man, yes. And he said, you have no idea how much that has helped me. He was tempted in every form, yet without sin. As we said before, let me say it again. Jesus as a man could have failed. He would have gone to heaven still as God, but we would have been doomed forever. The temptation will be invalid if there was not a possibility that Jesus could have failed as a man. Why tempt? He'll never win. Well, there was a reason why, because there was a possibility that Jesus could have failed, but he didn't. And then the Bible says, because we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is touched by the feeling of our infirmity, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy for the hour of our need, because Jesus understands our fallen nature, our frailty. Are you all right? We share this and then we'll have a cup of tea. The devil take him up into a holy city, into the holy city, and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Now, the devil now is quoting the scriptures. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." Now, what happens when the devil quotes the scriptures? And if the devil knows he can quote the scriptures, what is the church doing? I remember Bill Zabriskie telling a story of casting a demon out of somebody in Fiji. And a person had gone to church and sing songs, but don't believe. And when he cast the devil out, you know, the demon came out singing. You know the song the demon was singing? "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory." That devil, that demon had been sitting in the church, hearing that song over and over again, and the devil knew that the church did not even believe what they were singing. So he possessed this fella. And when the demon was cast out, he came out singing a song. And he was singing a song the church was singing. The devil quotes scripture, and the devil can sing your songs. If you don't believe, that's what he will do. So what did Jesus say? "It is written." Now, the devil quoted Psalm 91. "He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I'll say of the Lord." No. And then, you know, you won't dash your foot on the stone. So he quoted from Psalm 91. That means you should at least know your Bible better than the devil. Because you can actually take the Bible and make the Bible say anything. And there are people who are deceived, but they find a scripture to back up their deception. Are you all right? So you need to make a decision that this book is more than just another book. It's a sword of the Spirit. And you need to read it, meditate in it. And when the needs mount up or you are under attack, don't attack your wife or get in the car, go buy an ice cream at the berry farm. Take the word of God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I'll not sin against you." And quote the word of God to the circumstances. Quote the word of God to the devil. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I got you to pray for each other in the beginning is so that I don't have to pray for you at the end. My name's Illy, not Silly. But you've just heard the word of God. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of the provocation. But if you hear his voice, you say, "I'm going to be victorious. After all, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the first, not the last." Hallelujah. "I'm more than a conqueror in Christ." Today I made a decision that this book is going to be read. This book is going to be lived. This book is going to be practiced. This book is going to be used in times of temptation. If that's you, I want you to stand. As we shared last week, if this book is the breath of God, and it is, all scripture is God breathed. All scripture. That means everything that is written is God-breathed. And as we said, you maybe go without food for something like 80 days. Go without water something like a couple of weeks or less. But you can't go without breath for more than 5 minutes. God is looking at us. God wants a church that is victorious, without spot or wrinkle. God has given us His Word. And Jesus said, the Word of God, the Scriptures will never be broken. The earth will pass away, the heavens will pass away, but the Scriptures will never pass away. This is our manual of life. This is our sword, our water, our bread, our meat, our breath. Let us be practitioners of the Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we honor You today. As we stand in Your presence, may this year be a different year than any other year, because we, Your people, will trust and believe Your Word and learn to live it every day. When we go to bed, we'll think on it. When we wake up in the morning, it'll be there to talk to us. Lord, I pray for each one standing that You'll find in this Word, those in this church, those who believe Your Word. Your Word is settled in heaven forever. The entrance of Your Word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. I pray, dear God, that we will not be ignorant. We will be wise. Those that partake, those that are doers of Your Word, that we will build on the rock. The rains can come, the floods can come, the wind can come. We will stand because we are founded on the rock. Christ Jesus, because we hear and do His Word. So bless Your people right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone say, amen.